Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the John Jacob Schmidt Show here at Radio Free Redoubt. Happy New Year to everyone. Wishing you a blessed, prosperous, healthy, safe New Year. We've got many challenges ahead of us, but we're going to do it together, Patriots. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones across the American Redoubt, the free states of Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern portions of Oregon and Washington. And also all of you out there in live streaming out there in occupied territory and in other conservative pockets where the remnant is digging in for the challenges ahead, which is what we're here for. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host. And I just want to say that I appreciate so much the prayers, the support, the letters that I've gotten from so many of you through the holidays, through Christmas, the New Year's, and this is really great. And this is something that I try to drive home. You're not alone. Well, it's also nice to know that I'm not alone, that you are out there and your voices of encouragement resonating back this way as well. So much appreciated. You can always reach me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And we're proud to announce that we are now on the full ACN, American Christian Network, all over the American Redoubt, a large portion of it anyway. And so it's really great to have you guys. We're going to be with you for the full hour in Wenatchee, Yakima, Tri-Cities, Moses Lake, Ephrata, Northeast Oregon, Spokane, North Idaho. We are reaching because of you, because of folks like you stepping forward to get the message out and to support Radio Free Redoubt. You can do that by going to radiofreeredoubt.com. That's with a silent B, R-E-D-O-U-B-T, Redoubt, which means, oh, that's a safe haven. It's a refuge. It's a fallback position. And that's what the American Redoubt is. So radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the support to support Radio Free Redoubt and support us in prayers. And we really need the financial support. And we thank you guys for stepping up. So that is always useful, helpful, and most appreciated. Now, from the AP, UPI, and the major American networks, the news is next right here on Radio Free Redoubt. And the news is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding, where there's hope, there's a silver lining. And you can read about that series or listen to it on audio by going to 299days.com to learn more. Let's go to international. We always like to start there. Keeping our eyes on Putin. He's just named the United States among the threats in the new Russian security strategy. Several are covering this. This comes from Reuters. A new appraisal names the United States as one of the threats to Russia's national security for the first time. A sign of how relations with the West have deteriorated in recent years. The document, titled About the Strategy of National Security of Russian Federation, was signed by President Vladimir Putin on New Year's Eve. And it replaces a 2009 version endorsed by then-President Dmitry Medvedev, the current prime minister, which mentioned neither the United States, not NATO. Persecution of Christians is intensifying, of course, all over the world, but this particular article from One News Now focuses on China. I want to encourage you to remember to lift up your persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. A new crackdown on Christianity in China has placed many congregations in constant fear, according to the Christian Human Rights Organization International Christian Concern, an so-called anti-cult campaign was launched by Beijing in June of 2014 in an effort to root out supposed evil cult groups, which the Communist Party believes to be in opposition to the state. It's always about preserving the state for communists, isn't it? The ICC's Nate Lance told One News Now that authorities have begun to use the campaign to limit the expansion of Christianity, which, as we've covered before, is the fastest growing religion in China, Christianity. In fact, it's estimated that in 10 years, China will be the largest Christian population nation in the world. Isn't that something? That's what we've said before. Sometimes persecution is exactly what the church needs to grow. And, well, we're overdue for it in the United States. So the remnant needs to band together wherever you are in the world. It's coming. Well, it's already happening for many people around the world. He said there was a house church of good size, about 700 people. Local authorities went to that church and, citing the zoning laws, pressed charges against the pastor there and ordered all activities to cease in that church. So that sounds like some of the headlines from America, doesn't it? Using zoning laws to shut down churches, especially house churches, unauthorized, non-government sanctioned churches. In the Xinjiang province, Christians have witnessed the destruction of more than 1,500 crosses, nearly 400 churches since 2013. And just in the last couple of weeks, two churches, including the Church of Guizhou province, have been shut down, while at least six pastors have been arrested and detained. Once again, remember to keep them in your prayers. Now, here's out of China also, another policy that the Obama administration and the Department of Homeland Security must just be drooling over. And this is from ZeroHedge.com. As if further proof were needed that Orwell's dystopia is now upon us, China has now gamified obedience to the state. What does that mean? Well, that it's every bit, a bit as creepy and terrifying as it sounds. Citizens may still choose whether or not they wish to opt in, that is, until the program becomes compulsory in 2020, going under the innocuous name of Sesame Credit. Well, China has created a score for how good of a citizen you are. And there's a video that explains these extra credits about the program. It's called The Owners of China's, The Owners of China's Largest Social Networks Have Partnered with the Government. Sound familiar? To create something akin to the U.S. credit score, but instead of measuring how regularly you pay your bills, it measures how obediently you follow the party line. Now, we're talking about communist China, which is something you might expect from communist China or any other communist nation. But these are the very same things that they're trying to implement here right in the United States of America. What once was the greatest republic ever to exist on the face of the earth. There's another story out of South Africa. A liberal family hosts Muslim refugees. They took in up to 100 of them on their 50-acre farmland, over 100 Muslim refugees who are now telling them to get off their land and threatening them with their lives, saying, tonight, this is when you die. So that's not working out very well for them, is it? Anybody else got that cold, that head cold thing that's been going around? I've been battling with it for the next couple of days. So I'm sitting here on the edge of my seat waiting for a coughing or sneezing fit to break out at any moment. But let's hope not. Lord, give me strength. Okay. Something else, speaking of this Muslim, and we're going to talk about more about this. There's a couple of other articles I'm going to talk about. But it really ties in with a new piece of legislation that's been drafted and entered at Congress. But this is interesting here. On Christmas Day, a fire at a Houston mosque was set. So we got persecution against Muslims now. But wait, we find out that the mosque was set on fire by a devout Muslim. A 37-year-old man who's been arrested on suspicion of setting fire to a Houston mosque on Christmas Day attended the facility for 5 years and prayed there five times a day. This is what is called Muslim baiting. This is where they set, and we saw this, we saw a huge trend with this, with the racial division in the country and also with the homosexual agenda. Setting up false flag events to make themselves look like victims to help push anti-so-called hate legislation. We're going to legislate an emotion. We're going to make an emotion a crime. Well, Gary Nathaniel Moore was arrested early Wednesday. I can't believe they arrested him. I'm surprised he didn't go to counseling for, you know, what drove him to do this. What type of evil, what type of oppression this poor Muslim has endured to force him to catch his own mosque on fire. But they arrested him. And with $100,000 in damages. Oh boy, how they wanted to pin that on some right-wing extremist conservative. But it wasn't, was it? We do have another similar situation, though. This could be a serious hate crime. In fact, the FBI has just announced that they're offering $5,000 reward to find out what? Did they catch something on fire? Did they burn a mosque to the ground? No. Somebody put bacon on the door handles of a Las Vegas mosque. So now we have a very serious hate crime underway. So while ISIS and Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups are planning to murder innocents in our country, the FBI is focusing its efforts on to find out who done it. Who put the bacon on the door handles of the mosque? This is a serious hate crime. $5,000 reward. That could buy a lot of bacon. So, oh my goodness, this is just silly. Now, with all these stories, we will post them in the highlights and resources posting for this episode. If you go to radiofreeredoubt.com, just look on today's episode, click that as a posting. Codename Polly01 has all of these notes and links and resources, so those will be slowly added throughout the day. So you'll be able to go and also listen to this or download it or share, because we always post those over at Podbean as well. Remember to keep the victims of the flooding in the Mississippi, Missouri, that whole region, this slow disaster taking place, a slow motion disaster. Mississippi rivers are flooding, or the Mississippi River is flooding to threaten more levees and homes. And just want to remember to keep those people in your prayers. And this is another testimony, as we're seeing more and more of these birthing pangs, that we need to be more and more self-reliant so we can make it through these things. We're talking about self-reliance and some of our goal setting here in the last part of the show, but take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Or audio edition at Amazon.com today. There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Radio Free Readout.
We are back, and you are tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting live across a massive portion of the American Redoubt, the free zones, to all of you to offer you hope and encouragement and to try to help us bind together the remnant to stand in the days ahead with the challenges that we have facing us. And we do have some challenges that are facing us, no doubt. Right now, there are some great people that are being persecuted. If you guys aren't aware of the situation in Oregon with a ranching family, the Hammonds, they were convicted several years ago of starting some fires for controlling the fire danger around their ranch. They had a fire that got out of control and it spread onto some federal land. They were convicted of not even arson. I mean, you could see, okay, you started this fire on purpose. It was maybe as a brush fire for, you know, controlling the fire hazard, but you started it on purpose. So we're going to prosecute you for what? What would you think? Arson? No. They charged them with domestic terrorism for starting a brush fire on their ranch property that got out of hand and spread out into government land. Well, there is a minimum sentencing requirement, and a judge made a mistake and said, we're going to, you know, send you to prison for X amount of years. And then they found out that, that wasn't the minimum required for domestic terrorism charges. So now they're going back to prison on Tuesday. And there are a lot of patriots that are converging on that community to show their support. This is just out of control. This is what you call tyranny. The Bureau of Land Management is trying to force ranchers, miners, other people off of federal land. And you know, some of the people that are sitting on the board of directors for the Bureau of Land Management are people that are involved in mining and high-tech, big corporate businesses. They're using the BLM as thugs to grab land they want ranchers and miners off of. This is out of control. And we're working with our legislators to try to get this land diverted back to state control. And this is just mind-boggling how they could – the definition of terrorism, I don't have it right in front of me. I've seen it. I've read it. I've read it on the air. We've talked about this. But it's basically to try to achieve a political objective using fear or coercion. That's terrorism. You know, using coercion, threats, fear, violence, so on and so forth. This is such a misplaced law. And we need to decry the federal government when it overreaches and oversteps in cases like this. And patriots are converging right now in Oregon to stand by this ranching family where the father in his 80s and the son is, 46 years old? No, the father's 73 years old. The son's 46. Lift these people up in prayers. They are so beaten down. They're exhausted financially, spiritually in every way that you can imagine. So a lot of patriots are going to stand with them, show support, try to support the family, especially the wives, the women, as these guys go back to prison on Tuesday. They don't want to get involved in a standoff. They don't want a Bundy Ranch situation. They've made that very clear. They're defeated. And this is so sad, so tragic. And this is what leads to revolutions. This is what leads to war in a country when there are injustices and there is no recourse for the people to overcome tyranny. This is the kind of stuff that leads to the civil war that they're pushing for in this country. It's sad. So lift them up in your prayers. We'll continue to follow the situation. Now, speaking of tyranny, you guys remember a couple of weeks ago. You know what? Before we get into that, there is a great resource. Right now, privacy and anonymity are going to be critical to our survival. Now, it's a very technological age where everything you do and is tracked. There's ways around that. We talk about that on Radio Free Readout. We talk about anonymity. We talk about security. We talk about online security. Well, there's a great resource. There's a posting that we put up at Radio Free Readout, but it links over to this Mass Private Eye Blogspot article. It's how to delete your personal info from the internet. It is so easy to search for someone. Just do a Google search, and it'll take you to Intellius. It will take you to People Finder. It'll take you to all these webs, these aggregate websites for punching in a name, finding everything out about a person, where they work, their work history, their marriage, all the connections of their family, their home address, phone numbers, all of this stuff can be achieved. You can get all that removed. And this is a great article that went step by step through each of these different online services to have your personal information removed. So go check out that article at radiofreereadout.com on how to delete your personal info. And that will link you over to this article that was done over at Mass Private Eye. Mass Private and then the letter i.blogspot.com. So really good stuff. Now, 2 weeks ago, I keep one more thing. I want to thank Werks Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z, for sponsoring this segment. They've made it possible for us to cover the airtime for this segment. Werks Holsters, they're made right here in the American Redoubt. They're custom made, and they have a lifetime guarantee. And you can check them out at W-E-R-K-Z.com, and they'll take great care of you. Great product and some great God-fearing patriots that own that business. Now, where was I? 2 weeks ago, I covered a story about this Irish Christian pastor who's facing charges for hate crimes after speaking out against Islam. And remember what I said. This is coming to America one day. It's coming. Well, there is a bill. I'm going to cover more of him and his story after I go through this bill. This is a partisan bill. Now, we're all about partisans, but we're all about Christian, conservative, American partisans. And that's how we refer to a lot of our listeners and AMRON members as partisans. Pick a side. There's no room for bipartisanship here. We're too divided. So, these partisans, however, are on the left. 83 Democrats have sponsored this bill. It is HR 569er. It is a House resolution condemning violence, bigotry, and hateful rhetoric towards Muslims in the United States. We told you this was coming. And here it is. They're actually trying to pass legislation to give special protective status of a segment of our culture. But only they are the ones, this is going to be very subjective, they are going to be the ones who will be able to define what violence, bigotry, and hateful rhetoric is. And that's one of the things with Islam, is that you can't say anything bad about Islam. And we have so many people from the Muslim Brotherhood in our government that's pushing this. And we also have the spiritual veil that's covering the eyes and blinding people who are otherwise very intelligent, educated people. But it doesn't matter when you're talking about spiritual warfare and you're talking about non-believers, they will be so easily deceived. And you know who also be easily deceived? The church. People in the church who will stand behind a measure like this, like House Resolution 569. I'm going to go through this. We're going to run out of time, but you know what? We're on the full network now. So everybody in ACN world, American Christian Network, we're going to cover the rest of this when we come back. So if you're in Wenatchee, Tri-Cities, Yakima, Moses Lake, Othello, Walla Walla, Spokane, we got you covered. So let's start talking about some of this until we run up against our hard break here. So this is the terminology they're putting in here. Whereas the victim of anti-Muslim hate crimes and rhetoric, you know what that is? Words. That means words. Just like this pastor over there in Ireland is facing, another pastor in Scotland, another pastor in, or numerous in Canada, who have a similar law to this. Victims of anti-Muslim hate crimes and rhetoric have faced physical, verbal, and emotional abuse because they were Muslim or believed to be Muslim. So they're going to face emotional abuse when they hear the truth. That is the word of God telling them there is only one way to the Father, and that is through Christ. That's going to cause emotional hardship for them. Why? Because the word is offensive to the world. But we have laws that are being passed here saying you have the right not to be offended, which is going to supersede your right to speak. We're in trouble. Got a fight coming. Just get ready to dig your heels in. This is Radio Free Redoubt. We'll be back in just a moment.
See our Christian heritage come under attack, isn't it? Right here in our own homeland. The first phase, that of removing references to Christ from public school Christmas programs, is creating the vacuum that phase two is poised to fill. Humans have a deeply inherent spiritual need to worship. We were made for it. The militant atheists claim they're striving for freedom from religion, but it shouldn't surprise us that their claims are disingenuous. Enter phase two. We are now seeing Muslim songs and references to Ramadan creeping into what are traditionally Christmas holiday season programs in our schools. Where are the atheists to chant and protest that religion has no place in the public schools? I haven't heard any. Well, there are voices of protest to the Islamification of our children. They are the voices of Christian parents who are told to be quiet and stop being Islamophobic or racist. Christians are beaten down and told they're not being loving or good Americans when they speak out against this hijra, the Islamic invasion through cultural jihad. What will it take to convince the American people that Islam is not peaceful? It is anti-Christian and it is anti-American. Don't be fooled, Christian patriots. Islam is not peaceful. It is patient. A sniper laying in his hide for hours or days is peaceful too, isn't he? I want to encourage the Christians, the remnant, to be bold in your faith. Christmas is about Christ and Christ alone, and I can't think of anything more American than that, so accept nothing less. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of
history. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
to
have
change
a
the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. Communists set out to brainwash the people.
Do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
Radio. Free. Readout.
This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you for sticking with us, and thank you for tuning in, all of you listeners out there in live streaming land across the Fruited Plains in occupied territory. And our prayers and our thoughts are with you, and thank you guys for supporting us, and want to let you know that you are not alone, even though they want you to feel like you are. It's not true, and it's okay to be a patriot. You can reach me at John Jacob at radiofreeredoubt.com. And that's also our website. So if you're driving around, you want to check it out a little bit later when you get to a place where you can have internet access, check us out at Radio Free Redoubt. And we also post stuff daily, multiple times throughout the day. We have a team of partisans who help keep you informed, entertained, and educated through our Facebook page at facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. Now, where'd we leave off? Oh, yes, we were talking about this new resolution, H.R. 569. That's H.R. 569er. All Democrats, 83 of them, are sponsoring this bill. And now it says, whereas, this is the text of it, whereas the constitutional right to freedom of religious practice is a cherished United States value, and violence or hate speech toward any United States community based on faith is in contravention of the nation's founding principles. Not true, actually. If you go back and read the founding fathers' narratives on anti-Christian ideologies, they were very much outspoken against it. In fact, there was a time before the Revolution, before the Constitution was written, where there were certain states that had laws that the only way you could hold public office is if you were a Protestant Christian. What? It's true. Well, this what's interesting about this is, whereas the constitutional right to freedom of religious practice is a cherished United States, stop right there. The constitutional right to freedom of religion is the First Amendment to the Constitution. And in that very same First Amendment to the Constitution, it says that you have the freedom of speech. That means you have the right to speak your conscience, especially against an ideology, a system that has set itself against Christian beliefs and our Judeo-Christian heritage and the United States Constitution itself. It is, as Violette Sabo said, is antithetical to the Constitution. It is anti-American and anti-constitutional. Once it's fully matured, and we've heard their own words say that their goal, their end goal, is to displace the Constitution and replace it with Sharia. That's their end goal. And they're using our own system against us. And what else would you expect from a satanically influenced so-called religion? By the way, Islam is not a religion. It is a total system of living. And it's made up of military, economic, social, political, and religious components. But they hide under the cloak of religion to say we can basically do anything we want under the cloak of religious freedom. Although Christians don't enjoy that same privilege. When you have a Christian business owner saying, I'm not going to participate in homosexual so-called marriage by providing a bouquet for you or DJ service or bed and breakfast or whatever to condone and support what you're doing. Well, that's when the liberals come out and say constitutional rights aren't unlimited, right? But unless you're Muslim, then your constitutional rights to freedom of religion are unlimited. And in fact, we'll prosecute anybody who speaks out against the truth of your agenda, who puts light of the hijra, shines the light on your hijra to show, expose it for what it is, that it is an invasion carried out under the cloak of immigration, which is a long-time tactic, which is one of the things that led to, several conflicts in the world, not to mention the Crusades, which was the only viable response to the Muslim invasion of Europe. So they're just saying it's a constitutional right to freedom of religion, but they're forgetting about that same constitutional right gives you the freedom of speech, to speak your conscience, which they will protect somebody who wants to put a crucifix, Jesus, in a jar of urine and say that's their constitutional right to free speech, even though it's offensive, deeply offensive to Christians. But we're going to make sure the Muslims are protected from emotional abuse. Whereas there are millions of Muslims in the United States, a community made up of many diverse beliefs and cultures and both immigrants and native-born citizens. Thanks to these guys making sure there's millions more on the way. This Muslim community is recognized as having made innumerable contributions to the cultural and economic fabric and well-being of United States society. Give me an example. Can somebody show me where they've made innumerable? Look at that word. It's so numerous, it cannot be measured. It's so innumerable. You couldn't even put a number on it. How many contributions to our culture Islam has made? I can name a few contributions that they've made. How about the San Bernardino terrorist attacks from the three devout Muslims? That was a huge contribution to our culture because it caused the American citizens to arm themselves at record-breaking pace. Never before so many Americans, including many women, who now are arming themselves, and gun sales just went through the roof. So I guess in one way, the Muslim community has contributed to the United States society that way. They've made more people become aware and arm themselves, which that's a plus. Whereas hateful and intolerant acts against Muslims are contrary to the United States values of acceptance. Values of acceptance. So now acceptance is a United States value because they said it is. There's certain things we should not accept, especially those things that are national security issues, like things that could bring God's judgment on our country. We should not accept because that's a national security issue. We're going to lose our country. It's going to get wiped out. We're going to be brought to our knees. It might be from an enemy, but it'll be God's hand allowing it because we are ripe for judgment because we saw how he dealt with his people when they turned against him and forgot him. So it is a national security issue. There's certain things that we should not accept. Whereas Muslim women who wear hijabs, headscarves, or other religious articles of clothing have been disproportionately targeted because of their religious clothing, articles, or observances. Really? They've been targeted? You mean not like the kid who wore a shirt with the picture of Jesus on it, who was sent home from school because it was religious and offensive? You mean like that? Duplicitous pieces of garbage. Whereas the rise of hateful and anti-Muslim speech, violence, and cultural ignorance plays into the false narrative spread by terrorist groups of Western, not They are not terrorist groups. They are devout Muslims. And can encourage certain individuals to react in extreme and violent ways. Not violent like the devout Muslims are being violent with beheading people and blowing things and people up. We are so upside down. And this is a bill that was entered into Congress with 83 sponsors, every single one of them Democrat. This keeps going on and on. I don't know how much more I want to cover. We're going to post this so you can go read it for yourselves. You need to get a hold of your representatives and you need to tell them how strongly you feel against this. This is unconstitutional. They're using the Constitution and twisting it to violate one of your constitutional, fundamental, God-given rights, and that's freedom of expression, to express your concerns, your views, to point at Islam to be the threat that it is, and they want to quash that. They don't want that message getting out, and that's what they're doing to us. Let's talk about this Irish Christian pastor who's now facing charges for hate crimes. I said this is coming to America. No, this bill might get shot down. It might not pass. We don't know. But what we do know is they're going to keep trying and trying and trying until they get it through. Or they're going to water it down until they can get the camel's nose in the tent, their foot in the door, and then they're going to keep adding to it and piling on to it once they get some watered down version of it in. This is what they've done with gun control. This is what they've done with Christian control. This is what they've done with our heritage. They get one little thing. This is what they've done with the homosexual agenda. They get their foot in the door and then they just keep adding to it. And pretty soon this thing grows while you're paying attention to, football, while you're paying attention to whatever else you're entertained by. Star Wars, and this stuff comes creeping in. All of this stuff that they squeezed through and more that they're working on was done while you guys were on Christmas break, spending time with friends and family, not paying attention, looking the other way. Because that's how they operate. They're like cockroaches. Pastor McDonald, who is the retired head of Whitewall Tabernacle, one of the largest evangelical congregations in Northern Ireland, is facing two charges, linked to a sermon delivered in May 2014. He branded Islam as heathen and satanic and said he did not trust Muslims. Oh my goodness. Unacceptable hate rhetoric speech. So they are charging him, criminally charging him. Is what he said not true? Isn't what he said true? It's heathenistic and it's satanically influenced. Defense barrister Philip Matier urged the court to find the pastor not guilty, describing him as a man of superlative good character who helped drug addicts and other down and outs that watery middle-class clergymen might consider untouchable. So he's a good guy. He's helped lots of people, drug addicts. But he said, although he's unrepentant for preaching the gospel, McConnell was sorry for any offense his words may have caused. Don't apologize. Speaking the truth is offensive to the world. It is offensive. It is a stench in their nostrils. Right? Let's go to Jeremiah 6:10. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear, or in the King James Version, their ears are uncircumcised. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. Of course you're going to get resistance to it. They don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They don't want to hear the truth because it's offensive to them. You have to expect that it's going to be offensive to them, so don't apologize for offending them. I mean, I'm sorry that they got offended, but I'm not sorry that what you said was the truth and the result was that they got offended. That's their problem. Don't apologize. And in 2 Corinthians, it says, to the one To the one, we are the fragrance of death unto death, a stench. And to the other, the fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? The word, even God's followers are a stench. This is why Christian persecution is coming. This is why they are persecuting Christians, but they are protecting, actually passing legislation to add Muslims as a protected class. Muslims who have vowed to displace your heritage, your laws, your constitution, your way of life, everything, and replace it with a satanically influenced doctrine. Well, it makes you think it's satanically influenced doctrine. And maybe they're just off base. No. What did Galatians 1, 8 through 9 say? What did Paul say? Even if we or an angel from heaven, key in on that word, how many religions are in place today because somebody said, hey, an angel came and spoke to me and he said, I know what Jesus said, you know, way back, you know, a couple hundred years ago, but he gave me this really newer thing. And Paul warns us right here in Galatians. He says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. He repeats it. He says it twice. That's emphasis. So somebody who comes along who says, I wrote these things down. I wrote this Quran because an angel came to me and said, I'm enlightening you. That is probably an angel, but it is a fallen angel. That is a demon. That's satanic doctrine. And it should be accursed, not upheld, not lifted, not protected, not endeared. Especially a nation that's supposed to be, and here's the problem. We did not occupy as we were told to do. We were told to occupy, but we didn't. We're passive. We turned into a bunch of pacifists. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer warned us how many times about being pacifists? He was a Christian pastor in Germany who stood up against Nazism, but only after he was a pacifist. And then finally he realized he snapped to and said, I cannot turn the other way and allow this. Otherwise, it's just like I'm one of the people carrying out the evil by doing nothing to stop it. So 1 Timothy 4:1 says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Call it what it is and don't apologize. Now, I think that's just so important for us to realize what it is that we're up against. Now, we have other deceiving actions that are taking place. That's something else that I wanted to cover. This week, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. This week, Obama plans to putting curbs on guns. That's how they're running the headlines. He wants to impose new gun control starting this coming week. President Obama met with one of the district supervisors, which is basically like a county commissioner, and San Bernardino mayor over in Hawaii, to talk about a set of executive actions on guns next week, despite growing concerns in the United States over terrorism that have dampened some Americans' enthusiasm for tighter firearms restrictions. The president's going to meet Monday with Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who has already vowed to go after Christians who speak out against Islam. She's already said her mission is to go after right-wing extremists, Christians, and to protect Muslims from rhetoric, words. So they're going to finalize a series of new gun control measures and will announce his package of proposals soon after, according to several individuals who spoke on the condition of anonymity, because the plan is not yet public. And one of the main proposals Obama is poised to adopt would require some unlicensed gun dealers to get licenses and conduct background checks on potential buyers, which wouldn't have stopped any of these recent terrorist attacks. But that's irrelevant. The change is aimed at occasional dealers, including some who sell online frequently. Now, that's all the releasing on the condition of anonymity. We don't know what else he's got up his sleeve, because this right here so far seems kind of innocuous. I mean, so they're going to get some guys that sell, you know, 10 guns a year or something like that. So they don't do it for a living. And so they're exempt from having to, you know, have an FFL license. Well, we're going to change that. Also, we're going to stop all the crime, right? It's dealers who sell at least 50 guns annually. All right. So they're going to change that. And he's going to talk about it in his weekly radio address. And he's going to release it a day earlier than he usually does. The president said he was moving unilaterally because he's a king now, because Congress had failed to address the growing problem of gun violence. Congress won't address it, and neither will you, because gun violence and all kinds of and sorts of violence are going to increase until you stop separating children from God, starting with our public schools. Well, we're past the point of no return. So what's going to happen is the situation, this is the Hegelian dialectic, right? This is where they create the problem and then they have the solution. But the solution is to A, disarm you, B, get you to stop, being a Christian, or keep it hidden. And that's one of the arguments against this Irish pastor. They're saying and that's what his argument was. I spoke within the confines of my church, so why do you got a problem with it? That's exactly where they want you. That's where, and you thought it would stop there. I can speak out against homosexuality. I can speak out against Islam invading our country and displacing our way of life and our constitution, as long as I keep it within this little box called a church. It's okay as long as you can talk about those things, as long as you keep it inside your box. Well, guess what? That's not good enough. It's never good enough. Now he's talking about inside of his little box, and now he said the words, and they're prosecuting him. You cannot appease these people by saying, okay, I won't speak publicly and outwardly. I'll just keep it within the walls of my church, and then I can speak the truth. No, you have to speak the truth always outside the walls, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to be content with you keeping it within the little box. So they are moving forward to disarm us. In the next couple of minutes, I want to point some things out. He says, on Monday, I'll meet with our Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. Lynch. No kidding. To discuss our options, because I get too many letters from parents and teachers and kids to sit around and do nothing. I get letters from responsible gun owners who grieve with us every time these tragedies happen, who share my belief that the Second Amendment guarantees a right to bear arms, and who share my belief we can protect that right while keeping an irresponsible, dangerous few from inflicting harm on a massive scale. False. You cannot do it. The solutions you're offering will not do it. And now they're talking about saving lives. There are too many children that are mowed down. It's all about the children. We have to stop killing children. And now American citizens are arming themselves at breakneck speed. Now they've got the National Basketball Association on board, which is funny because they've got the highest crime rate of any of the professional athlete organizations. But they're going to talk about safer streets, getting rid of guns. They've got the NBA athletes speaking on this platform. But I want to say this. You hypocrites, you brood of vipers, and Obama and your entire administration, son of Satan, deceivers. You talk about saving children's lives by disarming those of us who have committed no crimes. 300 million guns were used to kill no one yesterday. And you want to talk about saving lives? You have no room to talk. I went to the worldometers info.info. In the USA, where nearly half of the pregnancies are unintended and 4 in 10 of these are terminated by abortion, there are over 3,000 abortions per day. 22% of all pregnancies, that's 1 out of 5 in the U.S., excluding miscarriages, end in abortions. You want to talk about saving children? You want to talk about saving lives? Since the San Bernardino terrorist attack by 3 devout Muslims using guns which were legally purchased in a state with some of the most stringent anti-gun laws, since that occurred on the 2nd of December, which in today's the 2nd of January, in 1 month, in 31 days, 93,000 children have been murdered in the USA through abortion. 93,000 children have been murdered. And you want us to disarm ourselves as you continue with the narrative that right-wing Christian extremists are the enemy, and that's the focus. And the true sworn enemy to our culture, the Muslims, now you want to protect through legislation and laws by persecuting anybody who speaks out against the threat. And you're going to disarm us using the argument that it's going to save lives because children are dying in the streets and it's just unacceptable. And while you're flapping your mouth, 93,000 children have been murdered, defenseless children have been murdered. You have no narrative. You have no room to speak. You cannot even bring this discussion forward as long as you continue to uphold the murder of children. It's an onslaught. It is a Holocaust. And we don't buy it. And we are not going to disarm, ever. They want to take your guns? There's only one way you give them up, and that's bullets first. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m., RadioFreeRedoubt.com.